Welcome to Peripheral Thinking, normally a series of conversations with artists, advisors, activists and entrepreneurs, all people championing ideas on the margins, on the periphery. Why? Because the ideas which will shape the mainstream tomorrow, that's where they're hiding today, out on those margins, on the periphery. That's what this is about, this podcast, Peripheral Thinking. But I say normally it's a series of conversations. Today it's not a conversation. Well, it's just a conversation between me and you and some words in my head. I will occasionally drop these into the flow of things, an interlude, if you like, between the other conversations which make up the usual flow of things. And today's little interlude is about a question, really. And the question is, or two questions, if you like. The question is, where do ideas come from? And what's the point of this podcast? So really exploring that, I'm kind of curious about a number of different things. I think really if you are sort of stuck in your work, you're stuck maybe in your life, you know, it could be in the work of running your company, it could be in the work that you do for another organisation. You know, we all get to a point where we kind of often sort of have a feeling of stuckness. There's a plateauing, a levelling off, a flattening off of energy, of enthusiasm, maybe kind of doubts creeping in. You know, if it is about the stuff of your work, you know, the work might be plateauing off, might be less interested in it. It might be harder kind of rustling up the motivation to go again, to kind of push on. And, you know, that also happens in the stuff of our everyday life too, maybe in our relationships, things flattening off, feeling, you know, sort of less inspiring, flatter, a bit more still. And, you know, whether it's in the stuff of work, whether it's in the stuff of life, often at this point we need to find ways of weaving new ideas, weaving new ingredients into the soup, if you like. Stitching some new ideas in, weaving new story, as one of the podcast guests, Jeremy Lent, so beautifully said, the need to weave new story into culture, the need to weave new story into our culture. And so whether the stuckness that you're feeling, like I said, is in that the stuff of your work or life, or the stuckness is in some of the kind of much bigger macro challenges that we're all wrestling with, or, you know, aware of, whether they are ecological, environmental, political, social, economic, some really big stuckiness which is standing in our way. Now, I'm going to come back to that big stuckiness a little bit later, after two little stories. And the first story is about Berlin, and the second story is about Detroit. And then I'm going to come back to some of that bigger stuckiness. So Berlin in the 1990s was a place of, you know, exciting place of renewal, of change. It was coming out of, you know, in the sort of post-reunification time, a lot of the sort of old stories, old ideas, old kind of habits of the place had died away as the wall had crumbled and the city was kind of reunited again as one. And in that reuniting, there were lots of redundant places, redundant buildings, empty spaces, empty ideas, empty stories which needed filling. And as often, so often the case with cities that renew, cities that regenerate, it was in these redundant, cheap, empty spaces that artists moved into, agitators moved into, activists moved into, people experimenting with new ideas, people who were creating new things, who were partying hard. So kind of a real vibrant, alive culture, alive by day, alive by night, you know, fueled in no small part by music, by celebration, by drugs, all of these things which kind of weave an exciting new set of ingredients into the story. And so, you know, slowly this sort of excitement, this energy, this activism, it kind of started to breathe new life into the city as a whole. And cities, as you know, like I said, they regenerate these ways. Often the regeneration finds its spark in the kind of mixing and matching of ideas that artists bring, that activists bring, people who take advantage of empty space, people who take advantage of redundant ideas, people who take advantage of cheap real estate, you know, in a very sort of literal sense, to kind of move in and wake the place up. And these are all people, of course, who are championing ideas on the margins, championing ideas on the periphery. And it's from those peripheries that the city regenerates and the city wakes itself up. 1990s in Berlin was, you know, all of these things. And actually the legacy of that musical scene, the legacy of that cultural scene infuses through to the city today. Now, obviously, if you go to the city today, actually Berlin feels, you know, very much like almost any kind of large contemporary cosmopolitan city you'd go to anywhere in the world, really. Big gleaming glass and concrete towers. You know, it looks and feels like all of those other cities. But, you know, is no doubting that a huge part of, you know, what kind of powered its renewal, its regeneration, its breathing itself back to life was what happened in those empty spaces, how new stories were able to weave their way in to the identity that was Berlin. You know, the city waking itself up from the outside in, from the periphery in. And I'm kind of really curious about that. And actually, we see a similar kind of thing happening in the second place that I mentioned, Detroit. So Detroit, you know, is in many ways is a sort of, you know, nasty parable for our time, really. Recently, once an industrial powerhouse, home to some of America's biggest, you know, so some of the most powerful country in the world, its biggest industry, the automotive industry. But, you know, as is the way with these things, a sort of combination of changing tastes, moving money, and redundant dying stories mean that actually a lot of what had been the heartbeat of Detroit, the heartlands of Detroit, the work goes, the industry goes, opportunity goes. And what it leaves behind is one of the most impoverished places in the country, in America, a place kind of empty of opportunity, devoid of a lot of life, people really struggling there. And then, as we see in a lot of these things, in a not dissimilar way to happen with Berlin, people then move in, people who are attracted to the idea of, you know, cheapness, people who are attracted to the idea of empty, redundant spaces, whether those spaces are physical, literal spaces, or whether those spaces are mental, emotional spaces. The kind of empty, redundant wastelands are a breeding ground for activists, for artists, for innovators, for agitators, for all of the kinds of people that we're interested in talking to and about on this podcast. And as these people breathe new life in, so the city is given the opportunity of regenerating itself. So the ideas that once defined it are given the opportunity to be replaced by newer, fresher, more inspiring ideas. Because essentially that's also the time that we live in now. We live in a time in urgent need of new and inspiring and different ideas. We live in a time in urgent need of renewal, of regeneration. And I'm kind of interested and curious that the model that the regenerating city might provide, because, you know, in the same way the city regenerates from the outside in, from the periphery, so we too can regenerate from the outside in, from the periphery. Actually, one of the examples of regeneration bubbling out of Detroit is a really important example for the bigger stuckiness that I mentioned, some of those bigger environmental, ecological, political, social, economic challenges that we are all needing to wrestle with. Whether we believe we're wrestling with them now, we're going to need to wrestle with those things. A lot of the stories which have underpinned how we've lived and worked for the last 50, 60, stroke thousand years, these stories are dying. Those ideas will soon no longer work for us, and we're going to need to be able to draw on a new set of ideas. So this principle of regenerating from the outside in, this principle of spending time with ideas with thinking and stories on the margins in order to stimulate new ideas for ourselves is a really good model. one of the projects which is bubbling out of some of the kind of huge amounts of redundant lots and spaces in Detroit are community-owned farms. You know, on a super micro scale, small communities, groups of people coming together to grow their own food. You know, this in a place where huge numbers of people can't afford food, and against a backdrop of the huge ecological damage that producing food on a mass scale does for the world at large, these people, small communities of people, coming together to meet their own needs, to regenerate their lands, to breathe new life into the neighbourhoods in which they live, and in the process, start producing food for themselves. That is a beautiful and brilliant reuse of the redundant spaces of the old industrial powerhouse of Northeast America. Literally breathing new life into soil, breathing new life into the land, regenerating themselves, regenerating their cities, and taking a real agency as they do. So I'm kind of curious about that, you know, as we kind of explore and experiment with ideas that might help shape and inform how we live and work over the coming 50 years, is to first of all learn from this idea of how cities breathe new life into themselves. They do it from the outside in, from the margins, from the periphery. They do it by taking the kind of lead and provocations from artists, advisors and activists, people who are challenged, you know, who are unconstrained, who are writing new rules. And from these margins, from the periphery, so these ideas find their way into the mainstream. And I kind of asked the question at the very beginning about where ideas come from. And for me, well, clearly, who fucking knows where ideas come from? But part of the thing which is important is to spend time with thinking, to spend time with ideas from the margins, to spend time with thinking in ideas which challenges our own, which is different from the day-to-day, which maybe pierces a blade, if such a thing is possible, through the kind of lenses that we bring, that challenges some of the beliefs that we have. Spending time with thinking on the margins wakes us up. Spending time with thinking on the margins stimulates our own ideas. And from this weaving of a new pot, from this stirring new thoughts and new ideas into the soup, so new ideas, new thoughts, new experiences bubble up for ourselves. So I guess my final invitation to you, my final request to you, is spend more time with ideas on the margins. Spend more time with thinking which challenges your own. And in that, so you too will hopefully in a way, start to kind of enjoy the benefit of new thinking, of new ideas. So, you know, what will you choose to spend time with today? Where will you go to find an idea, to find a thought, to find a belief, to find a story which maybe challenges your own? Because in doing, you will only wake yourself up. And in waking yourself up, you will be more alert to and alive to the myriad opportunities which are available to you. So for now, thank you. Do check back soon. More podcasts always coming, actual conversations, maybe, like I said, the occasional interlude like this. But yeah, I hope you kind of enjoyed this. I hope you found it useful. All in response to the question, you know, where do ideas come from? And the second part of that question, what's the point of this podcast? You know, the point of this podcast is to work in service of that, helping wake you up to some of the ideas which might be the ideas which will shape the mainstream tomorrow. If you like this and you're curious about what we're doing, go check out the website, peripheral-thinking.com. You can sign up there. We'll keep you updated when all the conversations and various other bits come online. And if you like this and you think somebody else would benefit from hearing it, if you think it would help wake somebody else up, please, of course, share. Until next time, thank you and goodbye.